we're going to continue our series that we've been on for a few weeks now, titled Rest, and this is number 4 in the series. And I kind of subtitled this, Defeating the Spirit of Fear. Defeating the Spirit of Fear. Just read a foundational scripture with me, if you will, for this series, Matthew 11:28. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will," doesn't say maybe, says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And ultimately, Jesus is talking about when we first enter into relationship with him. But rest and peace and having a light load is the way we're supposed to live. The Bible tells us, the same way you've received Christ, so walk ye in him. And so it's not something that just happens once. You don't receive grace once, and that's the end of it. It's something that continues to grow in our relationship. And we looked at, when we started this series, we looked at the fact, many of us are probably familiar with the story of the sisters Mary and Martha, and how Martha was busy with many things, as the scriptures tell us, but Mary chose what Jesus called the good part, and she sat at Jesus' feet. And so the principle that we're learning in this is we need to learn how to rest at Jesus' feet. And how many know it's hard sometimes to obtain rest when there's chaos going, and you know that the world can bring chaos. Life can bring chaos. Life can bring challenges. It says in Isaiah 30, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength." That's Isaiah 30, verse 5. See, having faith doesn't exempt you and I from having difficulties. God never said he'd prevent difficulties, but he did say that he would use those difficulties. And that's what we're going to talk about a bit tonight, is allowing God to use a difficulty. It doesn't bring bad things into our life. But when we resist allowing him to grow us through the process, then we don't get to where he wants to take us. We looked a couple weeks ago at some storms in life, because, you know, life brings storms. And we looked at how Jesus, in one instance, the Bible says he pushed the disciples out. Well, that's my interpretation. And they were out, and a storm came up, and Jesus was walking in the water. And, of course, Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, bid me, and I'll come." And he goes. And what we learn from that is in the midst of a storm, Jesus reached out his hand to Peter and allowed Peter to walk in a level of faith he had never experienced. And so you and I, with the challenges we go through in life, if we don't reach out and enter rest, is what we're talking about. We were talking how rest and faith really are synonymous. They go hand in hand. When you're resting, you're saying, "I trust you." That's what faith is, really, is trusting God. So we're saying, "I trust you, Lord. I'm going to rest in you." And so when we do that in the midst of trials, we get to the other side. You know, our temptation is to jump out of the boat and swim back to shore, and we end up right back where we were. All right, but that's not what God wants for you and I. And then last week we talked about a firestorm with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego recorded in Daniel chapter 3. And we learned that to experience power, we need to step into the fire of faith. If you're going to develop the power, say power, that God has for you and I, we got to step into the fire of faith. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says they went right into the midst of that fire. It didn't even burn them. It burned the cords off them that they were bound. So when we walk in faith, all that burns up is the things that hinder us from having fellowship with the Lord, because the Bible says there were 4 of them in there and one looked like the Son of God. It's interesting to me that the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire were burned up, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't. And see, you and I, when we step into the fire, when we allow God in the midst of our circumstance, our trial, to use it for our good, what ends up happening is that he is going to bring us through a testing that is going to bring us to a new level of faith. I want to read just a portion of a book. This is called Breakout. It's the latest book by Joel Osteen. Wonderful book, by the way. I really recommend it. He says this. He says, "I've learned that God is not as interested in changing my circumstances as he is in changing me." Isn't that good? He says, "Where you are is not nearly as important as who you are," or I just say, as whose you are. He says, "While God is changing the where, allow him to change the who. He wants to bring the pearl out of you." Questions I ask myself quite often include, listen to this. This really challenged me when I read this. How much have I grown in the last 5 years? Do I have a better attitude? Somebody say, ouch. Do I trust God more? Do I treat people better? Am I more patient? Do I forgive quicker? And those are the things, as we're going through a trial, God is trying to get the best out in us. It said, we're like God's pearl. And if you know, and I'm not an expert on pearls, but if you just check it out, it takes a couple of years for a pearl in an oyster, and it comes from that rubbing, that sand or whatever, that debris that gets into there that came from somewhere else. And it's not something comfortable for the oyster, but a pearl comes out of it after a couple of years. Because listen, it's the things that grind you in life, if you'll allow God to use it, are the things that refine us. It says in another place that he has chosen the furnace of affliction to test us, to try us, to bring us out, to purify us. You know, you think of precious jewels and you think of gold and maybe someone who's refining gold and it says that they have different technology now, but original technology was just to continue to skim off those impurities, even though we still do that. But what they would do is they would wait and the person who was refining that gold or silver or whatever it was, and the nickel would come out and all the impurities and the metals that they didn't want in there until the one who was making that the jeweler could see his reflection. And so what God is doing is he's refining us. But so many times we jump out before God gets us where he wants us to get. Come on, somebody. It's good. Say, it's good preaching, Pastor. Because see, nobody likes trials. I mean, it's the truth. But you're going to have them. So what God wants us to do is to get the most out of the trial. 1 Peter 4:12 in the Amplified Bible puts it this way. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality. I love the way it says that. It's taking whatever you're going through right now, God is using it to test your quality. To test your quality. All right? And I think he brings us to a place of higher quality and qualifies us to walk in a place of more power. He says, as though something strange, unusual, or alien to you and your position were befalling you. So he's saying, look, you are going to face something that is going to test your quality. In fact, you're going to face a fire that's testing your quality. But he says, don't look at it as something unusual and alien to you and your position. Say, I was made for trials. Say, I was made for the fire. Say, I was made for the storm, but I'm not staying there. All right, so see, God wants to make us stronger and stronger in our faith so that we can bear more fruit. I mean, Jesus talks about it in John 15. We're not going to turn there, but he talks about how he prunes us. How many of you here, Mike Benson was here on Sunday. He talked about that. It was awesome. And the thing is, you know, he'll take and he'll prune the things that are bearing fruit and the things that aren't. Till he makes you just an ugly stump. No, that's my interpretation. That wasn't what Mike said, but Mike was a little more eloquent, a little bit, as eloquent as Mike could be. But you and I are a pearl in the making. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is what keeps us so often is a spirit of fear, and we're going to talk about the spirit of fear tonight. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power. Say power. And of love, and of a calm and well-balanced mind, and discipline and self-control. Listen, you and I need to stop believing for an easier life and start believing God for greatness. We're just saying, Lord, make my life easier. That is not, really, I don't think that's a godly prayer. That is not a prayer we should pray. Now, there's times that God will deliver us, and we need deliverance. But listen, don't just pray to get out of whatever your circumstance is. It's like the person that says, well, God, you got to get me another job, because everybody I work with, they're just a bunch of sinners, a bunch of cursers, a bunch of drinkers, a bunch of smokers. Well, that's exactly why you're there. Come on. That was awfully quiet in here when I said that, but I'm not saying God doesn't move you on and maybe has another job for you, but you know maybe going through the fire of dealing with those people, keeping a good attitude and reaching out to them is what's going to get you promoted to where he wants to take you. Come on, somebody, that's good stuff. But in the midst of the trial, what am I doing? Am I walking in love, patience, kind? Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it'll kill you. It will kill you. It'll be a good death, okay, but it's a good death, all right? You know, a valiant death is a good death. And if you're going to be crucified with Christ, sometimes you got to die. Hello. But don't let fear of failure, of criticism, of the unknown, of storms and fire keep you from trying to see God do great things in your life. So many people, I believe, are afraid of failure. They never try anything. We're afraid to try things. Maybe you're here tonight and you've gone through things and felt failure so many times, you're afraid to step out and do anything. If that's you, let me just say, failure is an event. It is not a person. You are not a failure. So many times we say, well, I'm just a failure. I'm never going to amount to anything. Do not talk to yourself that way. All right? Do not talk to yourself that way. You are not a failure. Now, you may have had a failure. Come on. Just admit it. I messed that up. You know, dust yourself off. You know, you're rounding second base. You just hit out there into center field. You're rounding second base, and you slip and fall. I mean, no, you get a single, but you could have had a double. I'm just thinking spring. Help me out, somebody. We got to do everything we can here. My goodness. It's like, anybody ever see that movie? It's a cartoon called Frozen. I think that princess lives in Michigan. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. Okay. And she just, somebody got to, holy moly, melt that hard heart. But here's the thing. Listen, fear, I believe that fear is a demonic spirit of prophecy. Demonic, prophetic spirit, however you want to think of it. And this is what, because what fear is doing is it's saying your life will fail. Your life will not work out. You will never meet someone to love you the rest of your life. You will never have enough money to support your family. You will never have good relationships. You will never be healthy. You will never be this or whatever. Listen, that is a demonic spirit telling you that your life is not going to work out well. You need to not listen to that stuff, all right? Because God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and a calm, well-balanced mind. Many people, really, some people just sit around and just criticize people for trying stuff. They'll say, well, you can't do that, or you can't do this. I came across an article last week that had a quote from Theodore Roosevelt, one of our U.S. presidents. He said this, I'm going to read this. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, come on somebody, and strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at his worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So don't just settle for where you are. Trust God to get something greater and better than you've ever experienced in your life. Believe God for that promotion at work. But allow him to, in the storm, make you stronger so you can bear more fruit. Don't complain. Don't think, well, this trial I'm going through is too big. I could never overcome this. Don't believe just to escape the fire. Believe that God will make you fireproof. Come on, somebody. That's what God wants to do in our lives. I'm reminded of the story, we all probably know it, when God is delivering the children of Israel out from underneath Egypt and Pharaoh's rule. And Moses goes, of course, and you know how he comes and he brings all of these bad things on them and all these curses. And you know, God didn't just go once or twice, he went 10 times. 10 times. And I believe it so God could show himself stronger and mightier. See, God wants to reveal his favor in a greater way. And the bigger the challenge that you and I face, the stronger that our faith is going to grow. And so Moses didn't just come as a messenger of God once or twice, but 10 times. And finally he let him go. And then, boy, he just capped it off with parting the Red Sea. How many know what I'm talking about? Because God wanted to show himself greater. Matter of fact, read this for me. I said in my notes not to put this up, but if you can look this up. Is that Will back there? Hey, Will, how you? I didn't call you Zach. Pretty good, huh? All right. I'm not guaranteeing. I'm not going to call you Zach before the night's over, but let it be written. I called him Will. That is his name. All right. Amplified Bible. If you could look up Romans 9:17 out of the Amplified Bible. Look at this. It says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, I have raised you up for this very purpose of displaying my power in dealing with you so that my name may be proclaimed the whole world over. The Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And you know what the Bible's telling us here is God used that nasty guy to show his great power. And whatever you and I are going through, boy, we should have the attitude that God is using this person, this circumstance, to show his great power. The greater your challenges, the greater God's power is going to be in your life. Come on, somebody shout to God in this place. And really that, when we have that kind of an attitude, we are going to see breakthrough in our lives. We're going to see deliverance in our lives. So whatever you're facing now, it may seem insurmountable. It may seem like there's no way I can get past this. But whatever that obstacle is, it's there so God can show himself faithful to you and I. Last week we looked at three of Daniel's friends, and tonight I want to look briefly at a story of Daniel himself. And we're familiar with these stories. Many of us have probably heard them when we were children. But Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den, let's read a couple of verses here. It says, "Then those men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den?" And so the Bible says that three times a day, Daniel would come and he would pray. And he said, "I'm not going to stop." They said, "You cannot pray to anyone but the king." And Daniel said, "No, I'm praying to God." And they said they're going to throw him in the lion's den if he doesn't pray only to the king. Let me just say tonight that if people say you can't pray, pray anyway. If people say you can't trust God with that, trust him anyway. If people say you could never do that, you just believe God that you can do it anyway. Don't you allow people to tell you that you can't believe God. Don't you allow people to tell you that you can't stand up for biblical principles in the days that we live in. Don't you allow people to come against you. I'm going to tell you, if you stand up for God in any way, you are going to have resistance. And if you don't have resistance in your life, it might be because you're not believing God for anything. And if you're not, start believing. Amen. Believe God that you can win everybody in the place you work over to Christ. Though there's a goal. Come on. Hello. I remember before, you know, I became a pastor as a vocation, I did just about everything you can do. When you get to be my age, you know, how many can relate? You just do all kinds of things. And I've been doing this for about 17 years now. But before that, and people are saying, "Boy, Pastor, you don't look that old." Oh, yeah. I don't feel that old, but, you know, I look pretty good for 110, don't I? I'm not quite as old as Red, but I'm You know, you said. But I can still remember when I first became born again. Man, my goal was everybody in that place I worked was going to get saved. Now, I had a bunch of zeal. I didn't have a lot of wisdom at times. But I'm going to tell you something. God used that. And he taught me. And I can remember up at every job I had over the past 6 or 7 years after that until I came on staff at the first church that I was able to help. I'm going to tell you, it was just, and it wasn't, and listen, it is not because I am like Superman. I am not like super Christian. That I'm not. I'm just a plain old guy. All right? But the thing is, if you have some passion and excitement and fervor in your life for the Lord, other people are going to catch on to that. But that's something that only you can really get on. I can stir you up. I can preach tonight. You can listen to the tapes and CDs and tapes. I don't want to listen to tapes anymore, but CDs, DVDs. You can get online. Everything's on YouTube. Everything's on the internet. Boy, if the internet crashed, what would we do? I don't have any anymore, bro. I don't got any. I don't have any. I don't have one. I don't know what I did to them. And it can get us excited, but if we don't take that to the next level, and that's stirring ourselves up. The Bible said that David stirred himself up and took hold of God. And that's something that you and I need to do. And then believe God and be respectful of people, but believe God for a harvest in the place that you work. Believe God for a harvest when you go to the store. Believe God for a harvest if you go to the restaurant. Believe God that you are going to be used by God, and don't back down. And we read the story, and we're not going to take time to look at the scriptures. Most of us know it. But what ends up happening is they throw Daniel in the lion's den, and the next morning, of course, the king liked Daniel, and he didn't think Daniel was going to get thrown in there. And after he wrote the decree, he went, "Oh, yikes, I like Daniel. I wish I wouldn't have done that." And he was all worried. The Bible says that he couldn't even sleep that night, the king. And the very next morning, it says he got up early. He ran down because they had put him in the lion's den. They had rolled a stone over there. I mean, you could just preach and preach here. It's a picture of Jesus and all that stuff. But the thing is, Daniel's in there. He runs early in the morning. He goes, and you know, Daniel is there sleeping with the lions. He's not in a frenzy. He's not freaked out. The king says, Daniel of the Most High God, are you in there? He says, hey, don't freak out, king. I'm cool. It's all good in here. Just me and these lions. And the lions are going, purr. You know, they're rolling over. I just see Daniel kind of like scratching their belly. No, come on. Now, I don't know if that's true. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I'm, you know, you ever seen a lion trainer? They get them kind of mellowed down, and they do things. It's like, you ain't getting me in there. But believe God that you can be to a place of rest in the trial, in the circumstance that you're facing right now. Verse 22, look what it says in Daniel 6. Daniel says, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. It goes on in verse 23. It says, no injury was found on him because he believed God. No injury was found on him. Why? Because he believed God. Listen, you and I will come through the fire and not even smell like smoke when we believe God. We'll go through something. It's like Mike kept saying Sunday, this past year, Mike Benson Sunday said it was just a trial for him the whole year. He said he felt like he was wearing kerosene-soaked underwear going through the middle of a fire all of 2013. That's what he said one service. Then he said something else the other service. Pork chops, that's what it was. The other service was pork chop. He said pork chop underwear in the midst of lions, in a lion's den. So pork chop underwear or kerosene-dipped underwear, you take your choice. It depends on the service. But either way, listen, you and I need to just believe God for something great. And God will deliver us in the storm that we're going through. And really, what we see here in the life of Daniel is that he knew that the storm would not take him somewhere where God would not provide for him. The storm you're going through is not going to kill you. The things that Joseph went through, it says, what my brothers meant for evil, God has turned around and made good out of it. No matter what we're going through, it may be meant to destroy you, but you know it's only going to make you stronger. It's only going to make you greater in the kingdom of heaven. But the spirit of fear will try to paralyze you, tell you you can't do this, you can't do that. Fear can really make you afraid to speak, make you afraid to make any kind of action or decision. I mean, how many ever felt like that? You just get afraid to make a decision so you don't make one, and you end up living exactly the way you've been living. So life is full of decisions. We need to make courageous decisions. Believe that God has the best for you. Fear can cause us to do nothing or to react in a way that's not stable. Fear can cause us to live in lack. I've seen people that live in lack year after year after year because of fear. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've never tithed or given offerings because of fear. I understand that. Maybe you've never witnessed to somebody and shared the gospel of Christ because of fear. I understand that. Maybe you've never gotten involved in some kind of a ministry at the church because of fear. I understand that. But God wants you to step out beyond that fear. It can cause you to doubt yourself. It can cause you to doubt other people. It can cause you to doubt God. That's the greatest thing. Fear just causes us to doubt God in general. And really, the devil gets his strength from fear. And so if we play into fear and allow it to get the best of us, we're just letting the devil win in our lives. Come on, somebody. Now, there's a battle. We're gonna start a series here in a couple weeks and talk about spiritual warfare, so you don't want to miss that. There's a battle. The devil's defeated. But listen, if he can get our mind on fear and doubt and deceive us, he's won. So you and I cannot let fear get the best of us. We've got to believe God. We've got to move on. Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked run when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. You and I need to be bold. Really, I look at that word wicked, and I like to say that's just someone living below heaven's standards. When you and I are living below heaven's standards, we're going to run when no one's chasing us, expecting the worst things to happen. But I believe the fear of God causes us to be bold. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will. Listen, he doesn't say I might, does he? Come on, somebody. He says, I will. Say, I will. That's God's promise to you and me. He'll strengthen us. He'll help us. He'll uphold us with what? His victorious right hand. The Lord is with you. He's your God. He's your strength. He upholds you and I through Jesus Christ. I like to think of it this way. It's like, you know, we're the potter, or he's the potter, we're the clay. But you know, many times we just say, well, I want to tell you how to make me. The Bible says we can't do that. We're not going to turn there, but you can read Isaiah 29, verse 16, Jeremiah 18, verses 4 through 6. They both say kind of the same thing, that can the potter or can the pot say to him who's fashioning him, make me this way or make me that way? Listen, the thing that we're going through is what God is going to use to make us stronger. Jesus said this. He said, in this world you will have tribulation or trouble. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so in the trial that we're facing, don't give up. Don't give in. Keep doing what you know to do. And if you don't know what to do, ask somebody who knows what God's word says about what to do. Get into a small group. Talk to someone here at church. We'll get you a book that tells you about God's promises. It'll just kind of help you to get through the scriptures. But I'll tell you, a small group, I already said it, but small group's the best thing you can do. And everyone in a small group said, amen. Well, that's a lot of you. Glory to God. Let the potter have his way. I want to look at just a couple of scriptures before we get going here this morning. Just some things to give you, things to meditate on. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Corinthians that the things in the Bible, what we call the Bible, are written for our admonition, or for really to slap us upside our face, to teach us a lesson. If you look at that word admonition, that's literally what it means, to wake you up. So I'm going to give you a couple of stories. We're already giving you some, but I want to give you a couple more stories. Children of Israel, we already referenced this, but this is when the children of Israel, they've been led out of Egypt. God has used Pharaoh to show himself great on their behalf. And they've come to the Red Sea, and it looks like there's nothing they can do. God's delivered them. Sure enough, they get there, and they think, that's it, it's over. What are we going to do? How are we going to cross? It's kind of like if you and I just kind of went out here to Lake Michigan or even the bay and said, well, what are we going to do now? Now what are we going to do, God? That's what they were facing, all right? Verse 14, or chapter 14, 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want you to get that tonight. Say, stand still. Listen, it's resting in God and applying faith and trusting him that will get us the victory. I mean, no, it wouldn't be easy to stand still when you got a bunch of army coming down on you and in front of you is nothing but water that you can't get across in. But he says, stand still and see your salvation, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. That's a word for somebody. Whatever you're facing tonight, the Lord is saying you will never see that again if you'll just stand still. Don't waver. Don't quit. Don't get out of the boat. Don't swim back to shore. He says, for the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And so the picture, now that rod, we can teach on that. It can mean a lot of different things. It's the authority of God. But how many know the authority of God is the Word of God? And so what he's saying, stand still, don't cry to me, stretch out your rod is a picture of the word. And so what he's saying, don't cry to me, but trust me, rest in me, and speak the word. And we talk about this a lot. You got to speak the word over your situation. If it's a financial thing, I mean, if just what we shared in our offering. Say, well, Lord, I thank you because I give. I pray this all the time. I say, Lord, because I'm a giver, I thank you that you provide to me for me according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have no lack. It may look like it, but I'm going to believe you for increase. And payday comes, it's like, oh, it doesn't look like as much as I thought I'd get. Oh, it doesn't matter, but I thank you, Lord. And I start to look for, Pastor Bob will tell you, we do. He's been on staff about a year, and he balances the checkbook and pays bills. And what we do is we regroup. If we don't, and we have a budget that we set, and we live below our means, and we're responsible and all that, and our board sees those reports, and we're accountable. But he sees me do it. We say, well, that wasn't what we thought that month would be, but there is no way that we are not going to sow. So even if we cannot do what we thought we would do, we take and we say, okay, this is what we can do, and we're sowing. It's always at least 10%, at least. Because then we do special projects throughout the year. Like I said, last year we gave 15% as a church outside of what we do here. See, we preach this because we do it. This is how Trish and I live. This is how the church is going to live. And so you have, you know, you come through the longest winter in the history of the world. I'm going to tell you, it hurts business. It hurts church too. Okay? But God was faithful, wasn't he? Now listen, and you may say, good, I'm so glad I didn't need my money. No, listen, it's not about needing people's money. It's about you getting blessed. It's about us getting blessed. See, who we support, they don't need our money. It helps. No, money helps. All right? But I need to be blessed. The church needs to be blessed. The church needs to keep growing because we got a lot of people to reach. All right? Stand still and see the salvation of God. Speak the word. Are you with me? All right? And that's the principle that we see here. And, of course, we know the story. They go over. The Bible says they cross over on dry ground. They get to the other side. The Egyptian army gets halfway through, and God says, that's it. Bing. They're drowned. And see, what God wants to do is he wants to take whatever you're facing right now, and if you'll stand and do what you know to do, what the word says about your healing, about your deliverance, about your financial situation. But you gotta, you stand still, but you gotta do what you know to do, and that's believe God's word. All right? Jehoshaphat, same thing. Jehoshaphat, they're facing the army. And I'll tell you, I don't know much about military strategies, but I don't think it's the strongest military strategy to put the singers out front. I mean, I know enough to know. Look, when you start a war, you kind of get the intelligence in, and you kind of start to get the special ops in, and you start to find out what's going on the other. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You want to see what the enemy's doing, so you can come up with your strategy. Does that make sense? But they say, no, we're just going to send the singers out right there. I'm like, I don't play guitar. Okay. I don't think they had guitars. They had lyres and things like that. But okay. I mean, that's one thing the church has always had, liars. But, okay, Second Chronicles 20. Real people, real life, real liars. Okay. And he said, 20:15. He says, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Huh. Come on. The battle, and you say, God, the battle is not mine, it's yours. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to see you become faithful. Just in the area of finances, what we say is, well, we got to do this, and we start to backpedal, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. No, do what you know to do, and see God reward you for your faithfulness. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up the ascent of Ziz. Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still. Sound familiar? And see the salvation of the Lord. Word for word. How many know God's consistent? His word is consistent. Some people say, well, God's word contradicts itself. That is not true. If you take it out of context, you can make it contradict itself, but it does not. He says, the battle is the Lord's, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And of course, they go out, and the Bible says that they praise and they worship the Lord. And as they praise and worship the Lord, the Bible says that they caused all their enemies to get confused and to start to just beat up on one another. And so Jehoshaphat and his men did not have to fight. They just stood still, worshiped. Listen, if you and I would just learn like Moses, take the authority of God, the word of God, stand still, speak the word, do what we need to do, praise the Lord, worship the Lord, allow him to work a good attitude on the inside of us. Let your light shine before men. Whatever your challenge is that you're facing tonight, apply these principles. And the Bible says as they sang and they worshiped the Lord that the enemies destroyed one another. Listen, if you and I would just worship the Lord and rest in him, the Lord is going to cause our enemies, our troubles, our fears, our challenges, our addictions to really just beat up on each other. I mean, that's the way I like to look at it. It says, the Lord, His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Say it with me. Say, praise the Lord. Say, for His mercy endures forever. Say, praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. I want to tell you, God wants to set us free. God wants to set our feet upon a rock. God wants to give us the victory. And in fact, the Bible says He has given us the victory through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you believe that tonight? We got to pray. Come on, bow your heads. Father, I thank You for the Word of God tonight that has been sown into good soil. I pray that it would bring forth fruit in our lives, 30, 60, 100-fold. We believe You for a harvest. Now, tonight, you just think about whatever it is you're facing and just pray to the Lord right now, real, just where you are. Just make a commitment. Say, Lord, I am going to grow through the situation I'm in. I'm going to be more like You, Lord. Work in me to will and do Your good pleasure. Give me the desire and the power to do the things that please You. Whatever I'm facing, whatever you're facing tonight, allow God to use it. So a year from now, you can say, boy, I remember that trial I went through, and boy, that kind of stuff doesn't bug me like it used to, and now God's got you facing bigger trials. And remember, David had to kill the bear and the lion before he conquered Goliath. And you're here tonight, and you're either facing that bear, or you're facing that lion, or you're facing your Goliath. But then Goliath had brothers, and David had many other enemies. But the Bible said this about David, that he was a man after God's own heart. Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart tonight? If you are, lift your hand up. Say, I am. Amen, 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 amen. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of His Holy Spirit and keep you strong in every trial. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Come out this weekend. Well, we're going to